good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. You're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. You found good in abundance because you tuned in consciously and conscientiously to Eye on Las Vegas with your humble host, Barry Shore, the ambassador of joy. Notice I didn't say the ambassador of joy. The ambassador of joy. And you tuned in for one reason only. It's the best reason in the world, because you care the most about you. And you are the reason we're here. And we are just so honored to bring you some upbeat, amazing, wondrous people. And it's all about the energy of Las Vegas. Doesn't have to live here. Because whenever I mention to people Las Vegas, they lean in, open up their eyes and ears and say, tell me more. Because Las Vegas is an idea. The idea is energy, goodness, growth, bounty. How do you like that? Let me tell you one quick data point that I think you might find of interest. If you take the entire population of New York City and everybody that lives around it, the entire population of Chicago, everybody that lives around it, the entire population of Los Angeles, everybody around it, and add in the entire population of Florida, it doesn't equal to the number of people that come to Las Vegas in a year. 41 plus million people come here in a year. Why? Because there's something happening, and it's the energy. You are about to meet one of the most energetic, wonderful, amazing beings I've ever had the pleasure of interacting with. Please welcome a wondrous, fabulous Dr. Jessica Jacob. If I may call you Jessica and not Dr. Jacob, please say hello to 515,927 people around the world.
Oh. Hi. It's so fun and so nice to be here.
Well, we're just so happy that you're here. Okay, I'm going to give you a few data points, everybody, about Dr. Jacob, Jessica, and then we're just going to dive right in because I want everybody to understand passion. See, she is the embodiment of passion, and she's been this way since she was a kid. What's her passion? Her passion is helping women in the most difficult of all situations, which is giving birth. There's nothing more gorgeous and challenging than the fact of birth in the world. I think you'll agree with that, Dr. Jacob. Let me just say, everybody, three data points. You ready? Number one, she went to school in New York, in the Brooklyn area, when she was 16. Right? She graduated at 19, and she wanted to be OBGYN. And that's her goal, is to bring health to women. That's number one. Number two, she got married at the age of 19. So I met a doctor, married, seven children, hello, and 25 grandchildren. So if that doesn't perk you up and get your attention, nothing will. So let's just dive right in, Dr. Jacob, and talk about what it is your love, your passion for obstetrics. Why is it, in addition to the fact that you know what birth means, what is it about this field that attracted you the most?
When I was a young girl, my mother was fascinated with pregnancy, with maternity, with having babies, with family. And she, every time someone got pregnant that we knew, she would say, guess who's pregnant? When she herself was pregnant, I was the second oldest of six. She would let me put my hand on her belly, feel the baby move. It was so exciting. I developed an incredible fascination for it. And when I started college at 16, I declared pre-med for the sole purpose of delivering babies. I was sure that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I was right. There is nothing that brings me greater joy than getting a woman through the whole journey safely, well, and with wonderful memories and associations. There's nothing that makes me feel happier than when a woman says to me, I can't wait till my next baby.
Okay, let's unpack a few things here. Dr. Jacobs shared with us that she is one of six children herself, and she has a twin and a twin brother that she's close to, which I That makes a lot of sense. So her mother was a passionate haver of babies. And I think in the time when your mother was expecting, it was less so that there were female gynecologists, number one, and number two, that the journey, as you mentioned, that wonderful J word, was as, how should we say, compassionate as the one that you wanted to bring to women. Is that true? We have a little bit of a delay. Okay.
First of all, it's true that many fewer women went into medicine in those days, and many fewer were obstetricians. And it was a very different climate. I will never forget when I was in medical school, NYU, and I desperately wanted to get into Bellevue to watch some deliveries before it was time for me to do it clinically. And the very first delivery that I saw, there was a misogynist male resident delivering this underprivileged woman at Bellevue. And he was so cruel to her. And he spoke to her with a vulgarity that would never make it today. No anesthesia. He put on forceps. He yanked. She screamed in pain. There was zero empathy. And what I was sure about was that I was going to do a far better job.
Okay, I heard a couple of words here that I must say touched me deeply. Male resident, number one. Okay, that in itself is a little bit of a difficulty. Speaking to a woman, like you said, underprivileged, meaning coming from a poor background, not going to be able to pay anything. And this doctor, who should have had great empathy because he's bringing a soul into the world, not just a body, a soul, and I'm going to talk to you about that specifically, was actually, what you said, cruel. And that cruelty, I think, affected the birth. I'm making it up. I have no idea if I'm in any way correct. However, I know it did affect somebody important, and that was you. In other words, when you were able to see that which you did not want to have happen, that allowed you to go into your superpower and say, I need to understand and be empathetic with people. Is that right?
That's exactly correct.
Okay, let's talk about the process today of helping women in, like you said, the journey. So it's one of the things that we love to do is create acronyms for words. And the word JOY, J-O-Y, stands for Journey of You. That's what joy is, somebody's personal journey. So tell us, you don't come in and just help out Sarah when she's about to give birth, right? You're with Sarah months before.
I'm a solo doctor. I'm the only one seeing the patient throughout her entire journey, through the pregnancy, labor, delivery, and postpartum period. It's a very old-fashioned system. I'm practicing the medicine that people practiced many years ago. I miss about 1-2% of my deliveries. I take very little vacation because I hate abandoning women. And we have a deep relationship so that when someone calls me up at 2 a.m, I think I'm in labor. I know exactly who she is. I can understand what she's trying to say to me. When we're in labor together, I can kind of, you know, I can read her so much better than I would be able to if I was part of a large anonymous group, which is how medicine today is largely practiced, tragically. And I believe that because I know all my patients and because we have this relationship, it gives me the ability to go out on a limb and to try to do a more difficult birth without worrying, what will the lawyer say? What if I get into trouble? What if I get sued for doing this? I know I won't be sued. Well, A, because I know I'm going to have a good result. And B, I know this patient trusts me. So it's a real luxury to have this one-on-one relationship with patients that I have.
I want to mention this T word, trust, because let's be very blunt. What is the ultimate relationship in a doctor and a patient? It's less about I'm healthy, let's say regular without birth involved, than about a woman who's expecting a baby. And let's talk mostly, I say a lot of the patients are first-time mothers, which by definition is a scary situation. There's no man on earth that can understand this, not one. As much as we try to be empathetic and loving of our wives and such, it's not possible. By the way, I'm going to ask you a question that seems to be abounding in the world today. Can men get pregnant, Dr. Jacob?
No.
Thank you. That was emphatic and correct. Okay. We're setting the record straight because it's the craziness in the world, right? Okay, leave that aside. So you deal in the greatest word of all, trust. I would like to talk to you about something that I find has happened with people I know and family, is that postpartum, and especially something called postpartum depression. Would you be willing to speak about that?
Of course. Postpartum depression is a very real problem that we have not yet adequately dealt with. Unfortunately, our mental health resources are inadequate. There are too few people in the mental health field. And it's just mental health professionals are just not adequately accessible to patients in need, patients crying for help. It's real. I have zero doubt about the fact that these women are suffering horribly, and it's chemical, it's hormonal. It's not something that we can just rationalize away. And when these women are suffering like this, it's so difficult getting them appointments with doctors, with psychiatrists, with psychologists, getting them the proper care in a timely way. It's a problem we really have to get a better hold of.
And is it more pronounced or prevalent in a first birth rather than a second or third, et cetera? Or it doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter. And I had a tragic death of a patient a couple of years ago. It was after her sixth child. It was a year after the child. There was an underlying depression, but the postpartum, every time she had a baby, it just swung her into, this hell, this hell in her head. And she couldn't get out of it. And she killed herself about a year after her sixth child, a beautiful, wonderful woman.
I know the answer is yes. However, I would like you to speak about it a little deeper. How does faith enter into this picture as well?
Faith enters into most tragic, awful things in obstetrics, with the exception of postpartum depression. Because when you have postpartum psychosis, religion isn't really playing a role. You're irrational. And you could be the most religious person in the world. This girl is deeply religious. But there are other voices taking hold of you at that moment. You don't know what you're doing when you're putting that gun to your head. So religion plays an incredible role in everything else in this field. Can I give you an example of something that happened 4 days ago?
Please.
I had a beautiful patient. It was her fourth baby. She was due. And it was a sudden death of this baby in utero. She was feeling the baby move the night before. And then that day she went to for her testing, the testing that was scheduled, and there was no heartbeat. It was a perfect baby, 8 pounds, 11 ounces, freshly deceased. How do you find peace with the death of a beautiful, perfect fetus like that? Through our religious beliefs, I believe, our religious thoughts. You don't have to have you don't have to be an Orthodox Jew or a religious Muslim or a religious Catholic. I guess you have to have some kind of confidence in a supernatural being and in an afterlife, because without that, it's deeply, unremittingly depressing. The death of this child was put into such different terms when we saw it through the eyes of God.
So I'm deeply moved by what you just said here. Let's discuss, if you will, this journey that you talk about and how it is that when people meet you, and I'm saying this, if I was expecting, I'd love to meet you. Because why? Because you're positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant. And when they encounter that, doesn't that make everything about the journey of giving birth a different process than just, hey, here's my doctor?
Absolutely, of course. And as a matter of fact, you know, I developed such a close relationship with many of my patients. They actually miss coming to us. You know, when after they have their baby, they kind of like, I can't wait to have another baby just so we can go through this journey together. It's hard to call it fun, less casual, but there is such a meaningful experience that we have, that we share as we go through this pregnancy and then the birth.
Okay, so you're Dr. Jessica Jacob. People know you. Are we now in an era where everybody is like Dr. Jessica Jacob? All OBGYNs are like you and caring and loving and giving and not like that cruel doctor that you experienced years ago? Or is it still hit and miss?
There's a huge range to us, of course. Fortunately, no one gets away with being so overtly cruel anymore, at least verbally, because there are higher standards in our medical world today. As far as intentions are concerned, I mean, there are many doctors that have the purest of intentions and care and want to do the very best. Then you have others who are drawn to the entrepreneurial, you know, mercenary part of it. You know, it has to be said. And patients don't always know the difference. How can they? And patients may be drawn to other doctors for a personal relationship. I care so much. I have an extraordinarily low C-section rate. I have an extraordinarily low complication rate. But, you know, there are things about me that patients have to accept. For example, my very strong beliefs in what increases a woman's chances of having a beautiful, safe vaginal delivery. And that includes not gaining too much weight. It's a very sensitive topic, you know, and I hate reprimanding women for gaining too much weight from month to month. I hate it. I hate hearing myself say it, but I care so much that I tell them anyway. There are actually women who don't come to me because I have that reputation. They don't want, a snippety woman telling them about the weight. They're not understanding that it's purely for their own good. And it is. Or for example, another example is I encourage women not to take an epidural at the beginning of labor. There's a trend today, a very clear trend, to have pain-free labor and delivery. And as a matter of fact, even our own professional body says early epidurals are fine. They don't interfere with anything. It's not true. Those of us who do thousands and thousands of deliveries just see the difference. And there's a higher C-section rate when you take an early epidural. So when I encourage women, don't take an early epidural. Wait until you're in a lot of pain. You know, some of them are going to want to go to their friend's doctors who will medicate, not understanding that my C-section rate is less than half of theirs for these reasons.
Okay, so let's unpack a few things here, but this is really fascinating. Not recommending epidermals. Again, let's be blunt. Men can't understand this. Women have heard from other women or maybe experienced themselves, well, you better not even think about not having epidermals because that's pain and we don't like pain. And here, Dr. Jacob is saying,
you know, epidurals are extremely valuable, but not till you're in active labor. I think women should take an epidural. There are women who want to experience it naturally. God bless them. You know, if you can do it, great. I don't ever encourage people to do it without anything, but I just want them to wait till they're in real active labor. The difference today is that women are taking it before labor has even started, you know, so that they don't have to suffer a single contraction.
I think a lot of that is, again, men can't speak to this. People are scared of the P word.
Absolutely.
Nobody likes pain. Oh my gosh, I cut my finger. Ah! However, you're coming from the place of, I've delivered thousands of babies, therefore working with thousands of women. And what I want you to understand, I'm speaking like you, is that this is a journey of love and wondrous creativity that will benefit you as much as the baby. Is that fair to say?
Exactly.
By the way,
I myself had 4 children with an epidural, 3 without. The first one was without, and that was the hardest one. So I know what I'm talking about. I know what my patients are experiencing, and you're right. I can't understand how someone who has never gone through birth can really, 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 really counsel the woman as well. I've done it. I had 3 without the epidural. I had 4 with the epidural. I've been through back labor, which is the worst labor of all. So I've experienced stitches. I've experienced it all. You know, the misery of pregnancy, the whole thing. But it's, you know, with social media today, you know, there are so many influences that go on that pull patients in different directions. I bet in the old days, a doctor did have more power over a woman's thinking. Now, as a solo doctor, I have more power than the average doctor does, but there are still many patients who have formed their own opinions before I've told them a thing. And sometimes I can talk them into my point of view. Sometimes I can't. I work with what I have.
Your opinion, please, about doulas.
So doulas can be extraordinarily helpful. Doulas, a good doula is worth her weight in gold. But a not so great doula can be very destructive for the process. And there's one doula who, when she's with a patient, I will not go into the room because I abhor working with her. And the nurses feel the same way. She actually has stopped coming to my hospital. She knows how we feel. But, you know, we have to all work together as a team. What I tell my patients is, if you're hiring a doula, find out one thing for me. Does she consider herself part of the team? Or does she consider herself someone who has to rescue you from those doctors and nurses? And if she's part of the team, she's a welcome member of our team and will be wonderful.
Oh, that was beautiful. I'm going to share with you our acronym for the word team, and it applies certainly to this. Together, everyone achieves miracles.
That's fabulous. Fabulous.
When someone approaches, and again, we're not talking about the woman, the team is the husband, the mother, the doctor, the doula.
The nurses.
Nurses, right.
Yeah.
That process is miraculous. I mean, there is no other word for it, right?
And when there's a good team in that room, wow, what a difference it makes. It takes a village to have a baby.
Right. Oh, this is so wondrous. I'm just so happy. So you've been involved in the health field. Health is our acronym for helping everyone achieve life through happiness. And I'm going to put words in your mouth. However, I presume that one of the things that Dr. Jacobs loves to do is to not just put a woman at ease, but to help make her happy about the process that she's going through.
I sure do. And what I love to tell, once the woman has really figured out, when we're pushing out the baby, so initially they never do it correctly, and I have to guide them, and I have to criticize what they're doing to get them to do it perfectly. Once they do, and once they succeed, I love telling them what an amazing job they did. And I love for their husband to hear how great I think his wife is. I love exciting the husband and the mother, and having the mother achieve such pride in, if the mother's there, and the husband, in how, what a wonderful job this patient did. I love to make her feel great about herself.
We call love living on vibrant energy.
But I will say, I just want to say, it's so interesting. When we first start pushing, when I'm teaching a woman how to push out her baby, so the nurses, the doulas, the husband, everybody is attuned these days, because it's, you know, this is 2026, to say, oh, great job, great job. And the woman could be pushing into her ears instead of into her tush. And they'll say, great job, because everybody wants to be encouraging. And I'll stop everybody and I'll say, wait a minute, she's not doing a great job. I want her to do a great job. So let's not tell her she's doing a great job. Let's teach her how to do that great job. And then we'll encourage her to keep doing it. And that's how we achieve. So I say, I may seem meaner than everyone else, but I'm not. I just have the goal in mind.
Because you're focused on the process, not an event, and the result. And the result is healthy, happy, cool.
And normal. Normal. Not C-section.
Oh, by the way, this is so important. You eschew the idea of C-section. That's not you.
Correct. I do them when I have to. It's a small minority of my deliveries. And it should be a small minority of deliveries. And it's very, very, very sad what a large percentage of deliveries today are by C-section.
C-section is almost like an assembly line type of, let's get them in, let's do this, schedule next. I created an acronym for your name. May I share it with you?
Yes.
Okay, Jessica, J-E-S-S-I-C-A. By the way, for everybody around the world, and we have hundreds of thousands of people listening from all over the world, Jessica is another name in the Bible for Sarah. Sarah, the beginning, the matriarch of the great people called Israel throughout the world. So Jessica is, she is the essence of goodness in life. So Jessica stands for joyfully experiencing successful swaddling infants caring always.
I love it. And I'm very impressed with the Jessica and Sarah connection. Most people are not aware of that.
I thought you'd like that. So I'm loath to say the words I'm about to say. We're coming to a close on our time together. I have three quick questions for you. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, will you come back again?
Of course.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Number two, Dr. Jessica Jacob, you have 80 seconds to answer this question. What is your most fervent desire?
I have so many. I'm trying to figure out what the most fervent one. To be honest with you, my most fervent desire is for all my patients to have absolutely successful, healthy deliveries, no complications, and to have joy from healthy children, and for my own children and grandchildren to be healthy and happy and to have what they want in life.
Amen. And number three, may I give you a firm hug? And let me tell you, okay, in front of hundreds of thousands of people, and let me tell you what hug stands for. Heartfelt, unlimited, giving. Are you ready?
Yes.
One, two, three. And you've been listening to, of course, I on Las Vegas with your humble host, Barry Shore, the ambassador of joy, Dr. Jessica Jacob, the most passionate, loving OBGYN in the world. And I'd like to give a blessing from Dr. Jacob and myself. And the blessing is, go forth, live exuberantly, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad. Go make a difference. Dr. Jacob, don't go away.